I love Seth to death. I just don't like the narrative of him being the GOAT.
I think this team needs to blow it up completely.
This team is chalked beyond repair, bro.
Hello there, guys, and welcome back to the Reverse Sweep presented by Prize Picks. Download the app today and use code Reverse Sweep for a first deposit match of up to $100. We're joined by my usual co-host, Aches and Parasite, and we have a bit of an announcement to make. Doug Sensor Martin will be returning as a co-host for the rest of the season. Doug, welcome to the show. How does it feel to be back?
It's really nice to be back. You know, hanging out with all you guys all the time is great. I love doing podcasts. I love talking on podcasts. I love hanging out with my friends. I don't get to see many people, especially with the training. I've been very lonely. So it's nice to be able to just get on a camera and talk COD with people I've known for like my whole life. So it's fun.
Absolutely love that. As always, we'll be running through the week's biggest topics, then going into our predictions for next week and finishing off with some community questions. I want to give a massive shout out to all of you for getting some of the great questions in the comments section. Let's make sure we keep that going. Starting off this week, we're going to go into LAG, a team that has really continued to disappoint us throughout and continue to get dominated, destroyed by New York and then winning one map in two matches, coming in the form of a high-rise S&D versus Carolina, which has been a map that's been solid for them throughout the season. What's going wrong with LAG? I mean, we're talking about this every week now at this stage. For me, it's been an absolute disaster for the last stage from them.
Well, I'll go first just because I'm pretty close to everybody on this team. Also, if you guys couldn't tell, I lost my voice, so it's coming back, but I apparently sound like simp now. Anyways, LAG just needed to rebuild top to bottom. I think a couple of their star players have fallen off, Diamond Khan being one of them. He has not played to his usual standard, and that's basically hurt them a lot, especially when you haven't seen Assault or even Fame be able to find any sort of consistency on this team. The only person that's really been able to turn up in their matches is Estriel. And now they've just completely fallen off the wagon, man. I don't know what it's going to take, but they're probably going to have to make some roster changes. And I think the person that stands out the most when it comes to that is going to be Assault, simply because not only has he not been able to find any sort of consistency, he's obviously been their weakest statistical player. So if they maybe want to try to bring some more firepower in, they look to replace Assault with either a substitute in Flames or look somewhere into Challengers.
Yeah, I think that, to be honest, they've got a good substitute. I'm actually really high on Flames. I know that he's not had the best start of a sort of challenger season, but I think that they definitely need to do something to shake it up. And I mean, to be honest, I think there might be better options out there within challengers, but I think that, you know, knowing LAG and kind of how they've been going about their business, I wouldn't be surprised to see them look internally. Yeah, it's a quick swap, exactly. But yeah.
I disagree. I think this they need a big swap. I don't think one person's going to do it. Hell, I don't even think two's going to do it. I think this team needs to blow it up completely. I think the friendship squad out of Challengers was tried. I don't think it worked. Diamond Khan, again, was the only one that really impressed me in the beginning to begin with, and he's fallen off the wagon as well. So for me, you know, this whole squad needs a revamp top to bottom. I would probably keep Diamond Khan. But if they want to make any moves outside of the bottom four, they got to make some big roster moves.
Yeah, I'm just a little bit concerned and confused because I have to agree with Pat on blowing it up just because it seems like they have a massive lack of confidence when I'm watching them play. I mean, when you have another pro team, like if you're a challenger player, and I'm just trying to put myself in the minds of the challenger players, these guys are elite challenger players who rose all the way to the top of challengers, and I'm just trying to relate and empathize through them. So I would imagine if I was a player who made it to the top of challengers and then went into the league, but I went into the league with all my challenger friends, there's a really high chance that if one of the mentals on the team breaks, it's going to infest the entire roster. I think if you take individually some of these players on this team and plug and play them into different teams, it might be a whole different conversation. Like we saw Kevin Fame on Invasion Search and Destroy on land, pop an insane three-piece through Dark. That gets your confidence flowing. And then we see them online playing Invasion Control, and we watch New York laughing at them, even on the hardpoint as well. So when these things are happening, that to me would be the ultimate fear to make a roster change. And I definitely think putting Flames in is not going to change the performance of this team. But obviously, it's a good start.
The mentals are just broken.
See where it goes. But I agree, Chris. The mentals are broken. It's going to be a really difficult solution. You're going to have to make a multiple team change here in order to find some success.
Yeah, I think we're on a green here then. LAG need to make a change. I think two people is probably going to need to be the very minimum for sure. Before we go into the next topic, I just want to make sure that if you guys want your questions answered in next week's show, make sure you subscribe to the channel, because if you're in that comment section first, obviously we're going to be looking through the comments throughout, but if you're in there first with a great question, you're more than likely going to get featured in next week's episode, so just keep that in mind. Next up, we're going to talk about Optic, because they had 2 Game 5 victories, and I said it last week in the show, S&D needs to be a big focus for these guys, and obviously they've not looked unbelievable just yet. Today they did against Ultra, but I mean, we'll get into that. But I think overall, they've obviously been putting in a lot of emphasis and work into their S&D, and they came out with a really good Neslo today. So what's your guys' thoughts on Optic and their S&D and just overall?
I think they've just made a lot of improvements. I think this team has gotten better at search. It's kind of what they needed to get better at, especially if they wanted to contend with the likes of FaZe and Ultra. Today or yesterday, you saw them put on an absolute masterclass in that game mode versus Toronto. But I'm still worried to see how this plays out on land versus the other teams. I think they have another test next weekend against New York to see how they're going to fare against a team that is absurdly good at search. That is New York's strongest game mode. They haven't like been losing it very often. But there's some good, you know, good signs for Optic. They look a lot more competitive against the top four teams, this split than they have, even at the major and even in their first debut on the first stage. So hopefully they can keep this up. I'm just excited to see more top four teams play each other.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I think they obviously played well. I'm still interested to why Toronto is, we talked about it a little bit, giving other teams their best maps. They did it last week against FaZed. We start again this weekend. Toronto still looks great in Hardpoint. I think, you know, as much as we talk about Optics improved in their S&D, Chris, it's kind of not worrisome, but like they when they get these true tests versus these top four squads, their Hardpoint doesn't look nearly as good as it does against other teams. And so, you know, potential regression there, even if they improved in S&D. For me, though, still, I think, you know, I'd still want to see more slang and consistency out of the entire Optic lineup in respawns. I know they obviously individually have their moments, but as a squad on, you know, in a series on all three respawns, I don't think I've ever seen it. And yeah, I think the matchup against New York will be a true testament because, you know, New York's not bad at respawn. They're still a top four team, and New York's been putting on in this stage. Granted, I think New York and Optic have both had fairly easy matchups outside of New York playing FaZe and Optic playing Toronto. Everyone else has been pretty light for them. And so, yeah, I think that's going to be a good test. I think they play each other for the number one seed as well, which we kind of know doesn't really matter because 1-4 is all the same. They're all playing talent below them. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, another great series from them, and hopefully next weekend we can really see what they're about. Because I don't think New York's going to do what Toronto's been doing and giving teams their best map. I think New York's going to come to play, and so it'll be a good one.
Yeah, New York and FaZe have been the most impressive teams this split for sure.
Yeah, I think you've cut the nail on the head there. Ultra with some weird vetoes, but ultimately still a good win from Optic. I think that if they're to take this New York scalp next weekend, then at the end of the day, you're going to have to put them as a contender for the event. We've been speaking New York's praises this stage. But yeah, that's kind of the true test because at the end of the day, today's series was very impressive. But Pat sort of did highlight some of the concerns there. The hard point was they did have a chance to win the Rio, I feel like, the couple of different plays. But overall, at the end of the day, they continued to lose most of the situations on both Skid Row and Rio Hardpoint. Impressive invasion control, though. But yeah, I mean, we'll get into it later in the show. But Ultra, their vetoes since the most recent map changes have been strange. I think that they're clearly not super confident in their Rio. So that's why I'm not 100% sure if they actually went in this series and were like trying to do weird vetoes or if it's just their map pool. Because I think that last week in the series against FaZe, 100% they were doing some weird vetoes. But this one was a bit more like on the edge, of, in my opinion, because I think that Ultra are clearly not super confident in their Rio S&D. They had that loss, I think it was like 6-0 a couple of weeks ago against Vegas. So maybe it's one of those ones where they're more confident on their terminal now, which is their all VO throughout the season, to now play that instead of Rio. Or again, it could just be them choosing maps.
Ultra's S&D pool is just not that strong anymore because they removed Skid Row out. So they naturally have to find another map they can rely on besides Karachi, which was one of their bread and butter maps in the first stage. So now with that map being gone, I think they're just struggling to find that one other reliable map that they can play. So they're not necessarily testing out maps, but they're just trying to find a new foothold. And Optic, unfortunately, is just matching up well versus them in that game mode. So,
and not to mention, Chris, I also feel like with Optic and all these other teams as well. Like if you look at the competition, Toronto said they were going to run it up all year, and obviously these other top teams are going to be thinking they're going to run it up too, and they're going to be studying each other. So it's a long season, and it's extremely difficult. Pat, you know this better than anyone, to run it up the whole year. I mean, you always have every team under you, gunning for you, studying you, watching every little waking move you're doing. Like Toronto right now, they're killing it with content. They're streaming every night. They're playing ranked for like 3 hours with me for no reason at all. And I'm just sitting there just cheesing the whole time. Like, I know the work they got to put in, and then they're putting in this extra time with their content as well. I know they're experimenting with a lot of different stuff. And other teams, most importantly, and this is what I was alluding to, Pat, specifically, are getting better. And I'm sure when you're the top dog, you can feel and sense when others are getting better around you. The thing I'm liking what I see out of Optic is Shachi just taking over games and them enabling him and their SMG duo, specifically because they have Brandon just, you know, as this last year and a half has went on, he has really progressed as a player, in my opinion, from, okay, I can get my kills and I know I can, but let me actually like move to the spots I need to and listen to my teammates as best as I possibly can, because I don't have to do everything, because you have these four superstars. And we all know if you have some of the best talent, it's not always going to win you games, but if you could have some of the best talent that could actually listen and work with each other, then it's going to come down to truly who is the best team. And who's the best team is based off of how Pat always likes to feel, who has the best pack-a-punched roster. So this Optic team is streaking, and regardless of what we think, if you're beating Toronto Ultra in a series, you have to be a contender for the major.
All righty, let's jump into our prize picks. Prize picks is simple to play. I can make these picks and submit these entries in less than 60 seconds. Last week, we did just that. We picked Simp more and Fellow less. Simp, again, has not let us down. He had 59, so he definitely went more. And then Fellow, I mean, I wish I could replace the series he had this weekend or on Sunday that he had on Friday, because on Friday he definitely had more, and on Sunday he got smoked. So this one didn't work out for us, but that's no big deal. Jumping into next week's matches, we got the Seattle Surge and the Vegas Legion, as well as the LA Gorillas and the Los Angeles Thieves. So what are we thinking?
I mean, Surge are playing for stats, so we'll put that out there.
Yeah, they are.
So I'm thinking this first, I mean, we don't have to do this first match specifically, but if I'm looking at this first match, I'm thinking one of the ARs less. Abuser's been playing obviously great throughout, so I wouldn't really touch him, but I'm thinking,
well, I want to put this out there, I think we go big.
You think we go big?
Yeah, there's two matches, so four teams play. I think we pick one player from each team and we get four entries right in.
Okay, love that.
Or four picks in.
My initial thoughts are RCT's less.
Arceus has been playing pretty decent, though.
Yeah, he's been statting. I swear he's been statting. He's had like the least deaths, least engagements, but having the most kills.
But this series scares me because like I feel like Vakes could win this with all going negative.
Like, yeah. What about Attach? You know what I mean? I think Attach has been frying. Like I'd be confident with an Attach more. I can't remember the last time he had a bad series.
I think Attach more is a great one because what did he have today? I mean, his stats were insane.
He almost broke the kill record.
Yeah, Chris, I saw what you posted, like plus 35 or something like that.
Went plus 32 in the series.
Look at who he's playing with, too. I mean, it just makes so much sense when you see Purge.
My bad, Vegas.
No, when you see Purge, Nero, and Geo, like if I just put myself in Attach's shoes. If I'm playing with Purge, Geo, and Nero, that's just chaos on the map. That's just constant deaths happening. So if I just position myself the way Attach would, boom, freebies. You're just swatting down kills for free. So 100%. I think an Attach more is definitely something we should be putting on the cards, Pat.
I think we could definitely get attached more here.
And back to Seattle, Mark's thinking RC.
Do we have
less
to go with one from the same series?
Well, we got to pick one from each team.
We're going big this week.
Oh.
Yeah, we're picking one from each team.
I think it's either that or you look at doing something like a
what about Brezzy less? Brezzy less?
Brezzy less. Yeah, Brezzy less. I mean,
all right.
I mean, statistically, they played well in their last match. The three of them went positive. So, I mean, they're getting kills. They're not just... I think Hugh Moore is not a bad shout.
He's had a lot of kills.
Like, do we expect this series to be a grueler, or are we expecting it to be a swift one?
I expect it to be a grueler.
Yeah, I expect like a round five control, like a 250-220 hard point.
Yeah.
The question for me is, will they play Rio hard point? Because that would be ideal.
That would be ideal. We love a Rio hard point in the mix. I'm not entirely sure. I can't really remember seeing much of it from Seattle.
To Doug's point, though, Hook is playing against, what, Purge? Like, obviously Nero's good, but who could have a good series here? Just like his teammates are kind of statting, but he could kind of maybe go rogue.
Yeah, no, he could go rogue and get a lot of interaction.
But at the same time, if his teammates are statting, don't you think it's going to hurt Hook because he's going to just get left out to dry and just put in a lot of bad situations?
Yeah, but he's had the most players who's like a lot of 1v1 gunfights. So it's like, he's just going to be challenging, getting kills, dying.
Well, in their last match, he had the most kills by a good 13 in his team.
If we're assuming it's going to go the distance, I think he'll just get kills naturally, like just grinding out the rounds. Like he puts himself in spots to always be in engagements. Like I guess the upside is he's going to be a high engagement player. We're just hoping he gets more kills than deaths in this case.
Yeah. I'm down for Hugh and what was the other one we were going to go for in the Vegas? I'm down for those.
You guys like that?
Yes. I think those are two solid ones for us for sure.
Yeah. I don't mind.
All right. LA Gorillas versus the LA Thieves. What do we think?
Kremp Moore. Give me some Kremp Moore.
Mm.
Dude, that's such a scary one. He fried today, but it's like, I feel like he played better than I've ever seen him play today.
I know how Kremp would play against a team like LAG. I'm taking the Kremp Moore for sure.
Yeah, that's a good point. Chris, he might just stat pad.
You think he's frying LAG?
I don't know. Kremp has played pretty decent, but I think he's only had one standout series and was their last one. Depending on these vetoes, I think we could choose Assault Less for sure.
Jesus.
And then from then on, I don't know, man. Because the way that LAG plays, they play very like structured and like they play like creddies, man.
But I also think this is going to be a grueler too. Like I
Kremp,
see it going
Kremp
the
could get ate up by these guys. Like if they're just playing corners and playing ratty.
Right. Listen, I've got another one to throw in the mix. Another little shout.
Oh, you're throwing Afro Less. I can see it.
No. I actually wasn't right. This is my logic. Just listen to it. Right. Okay. Nasty's been putting some damage in. Right. But he's not getting the kills. He's gonna get the kills next weekend against
LAG.
Why
next weekend is that happening? I feel like the last five series he has.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's true. But he's been putting up consistent damage.
We go the Assault Less and Afro Less.
I like both of those, Chris. I think both of those are also really good.
Bro, Afro has been so mid. It doesn't matter. Afro literally doesn't even contribute half the time.
No, Chris, stop. It's the team dynamic, Chris. Stop. It's the way the team is put together. We know.
I'm saying on this team, I never once said that Afro was a bad player.
Yeah,
I said he is not contributing on this roster.
But
neither is Adam.
Round five and a deep hard point, like... We'd be
well, the thing is, okay, hard...
I feel like they're both bad teams.
What control are they going to play?
Probably high rise.
Yeah, I could be wrong. LAG plays a lot of high rise. So does
yeah, and so invasion. The so the thieves. Yeah,
I would bet more on high rise than invasion personally. Like I would think they would play that more.
They just got done hoop tape in Vegas on it though,
which goes down more towards kills a lot.
And Afro still didn't even get that many kills.
Yeah, it was fast. Was it like 3-0, 3-1?
Yeah,
but this is what I'm seeing. If it goes game five, around five, then we'd be in trouble.
It's not going around five.
So you think LAGs are winning?
I mean, we would. I have LAG winning.
You have LAG winning?
I have Thieves. You have LAG?
Well, yeah. Wait, what?
Why? Anything
they, don't, they, don't,
now.
They don't lose the Battle of LA.
Hold on. Okay, this last one is going between us three.
They don't lose the. All right. Y'all pick this one.
Wait, it's only 7-1 though. They've lost it once. They just won it.
Yeah, but
yeah, I was a part of that one.
All right. So let's realistic. God, Chris, that's LAG in this series. Okay, I'm okay with the afro less. The assault less, I'm a little scared by, because it's just one of those series, bro, right? I feel like, think about it this way. His projection's probably going to be pretty low because he's been so bad recently.
So you think he steps up and he goes more?
Is there bias in this, Pat? Is there bias in this with Pat?
No, no. What I'm saying is, I'm not confident on him going more or less.
What about Estriol?
Estriol's been like playing probably like the best in their team overall.
But if you guys think we got burned by Estriol like week two.
Yeah.
Because he was getting shit on, and then he just randomly had a pop off series.
We were like, I think we restore our faith in him. We go more.
Estriol more, afro less.
We don't prey on his downfall. Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I don't really know, to be honest, because there's so much cheese involved in this. You know what I mean? The LAG, LAT cheese.
The LAG versus LAT cheese is definitely there.
That's a factor. And then, like, are we expecting these players to perform the same as they did previously? Like you guys said, Kremp had an unbelievable series here. And again, he could come in and just absolutely farm against this LAG squad, and it could just be a quick one.
All right, fuck it. Send it more. Kremp more.
I'm down for Kremp less.
All right. What's the other one then?
Afro less.
So we're on LAG.
Does it have to be on the opposite team?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing that this week.
So less, bro. He's been less every time, bro. Like, unless his if his production's low though, like
he might hit. That's what I'm saying, dude. He's been getting shit on, so like it's gonna be low.
New week, new Adam. Send it. Assault more.
Yeah, I'm down, man. I'm actually down for that. I'm not gonna lie.
Down for that?
I'm down for that, man.
We're praying.
Doug, thoughts?
I'm gonna agree with all you guys. If I had any problem with it, I would say something.
We're going quad more then.
Yeah. We're going crazy.
Okay. So to recap, guys, we're going Huke more, Attach more, Crimp more, and Assault more.
We're not praying on downfalls this week.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Positive vibes.
Everyone is up.
Exactly.
Well, remember,
we're going to have some close matches.
PrizePicks has quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, an enormous selection of players and stat types, and that's what makes PrizePicks the number one daily fantasy sports app. So download the app today and use code REVERSESWEEP for a first deposit match up to $100.
Now, getting back into the games, we had Boston here had a very tough week. They had two top four teams. They got destroyed by FaZe, but they showed a lot of fight versus Optic, who we spoke about at the start of the show. For me, Boston, I mean, we kind of expected them coming in this week and go 0-2, to be honest, but against Optic, they were looking good. You know, one round away from losing in that game five. What's your thoughts on Boston? Like, where do they kind of stand at the minute? It's hard to say after this tough week, but I feel like they're not as bad as they have shown this week, but FaZe have just simply been destroying everyone.
I think their hard point's just weak. Like, they don't have, like, a really good map pool. When it comes down to hard point, I feel like one of the only maps I've seen them play well, for the most part, is going to be Invasion. But after that, they've been kind of, like, testing out map pools. They played some Rio. They didn't look terrible on it, but... they didn't really look too good either. With Boston, I just think their hard point, they lack the slaying power. I mean, we've said this with this team. Like, when it comes down to their AR players, like Priesta and Slasher, like, they got to step up. Priesta's supposed to be that guy. He's supposed to be, like, the Sib on the team, like, the secondary AR that can slay and be aggressive. But we have yet to see that out of Preston. So I just think that's where their respawn woes come from.
I'd like to chime in now, because I feel like this is like super uncomfortable for me to talk about, because obviously I just stepped down from the academy team, and our academy team hasn't lost a series in like 2 months since I stepped down. So this, I feel like I just got to get all this off my chest here. They did play two of the best teams in COD, but at the same time, I do have to agree with Chris to an extent with how the AR duo is working on the map, because the one thing we have seen consistently is like a lack of slaying in respawn game modes, but we have seen some consistency when it comes to closing out search and destroys, which is something that we've always known to be true. And then, yeah, I just think it's just one of those things where you got to see how it's going to go as time goes on. We didn't have the best first split. We just made a roster change, and now we have a second split. So we just got to see how it's going to go. Obviously, on line to land too, it could be a little bit different. I'm just trying to put myself in these player situations. You know, if you're a brand new team and you replace Capsule with ASIM and you're playing against some of the top dogs in the league, you could expect to lose, even though that sounds so terrible to say out loud. But I would just like to see how they're going to bounce back on land ultimately going into the land, because online to land always switches up. And if you're losing to these top teams online, a lot of things could go wrong. So I think it's a lot of great learning lessons to learn from. And it's a great opportunity to bounce back going into the final match in land.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. I just don't know what to think about this Boston squad. Like, that game five Optic, like, I was pretty hyped. I was like thinking like, oh man, they might do this, like, because we don't see many top four upsets, and Boston actually has one of them. Boston upset Toronto in the beginning, if you guys remember. So I don't know, man. I want to see more out of Snoopy, though. Like, I feel like he's been, I expected more from him almost after his showing last year, like that little brief stint we had where he was a surprise. And it's not like he's been bad, but I'm kind of expecting him I expected him to be more comfortable with the ASIM pickup as well. But P-Dog, I think, as well. And the big question mark really is, you know, when this team goes to land, last time we saw them on land, no one showed up but Austin. Like, he was the only – he had, like, a 1.5, and they lost. Like, he had one of those series that Attach had yesterday, right? Like, and I just think this whole squad needs to be more consistent and, agree with you, needs more kills. So – They're just a big question mark for me. They're not like bottom four, but they're in that like middle of the pack. I just don't know what much I think about them.
For me, like, I think that Snoopy is going to underperform the way he is if he's not able to be in winning situations. He's a super aggressive player. If you're constantly having to break hills and all these sort of things, you're going to be having a negative KD as like a super aggressive SMG. That's just kind of the way it usually works. For me, I think the biggest issue this team has is going to be their AR dynamic, to be honest. I think that, like you guys have touched on, there's issues there with their AR slaying, and I'd probably like to see a change there, in my opinion, if they're able to... I mean, they're going to consistently be, in my opinion, like around the middle-of-the-pack team with this roster throughout the season, but if they're going to want to propel themselves to being, like, you know, potential, like, top four contenders, I think that that's going to need to be a change that they definitely look at.
Would you say Priesta would be the one that you're looking at?
I think it's hard. I think it's hard. I think that dynamic is just a bit off. I don't really favor one or the other, but I think there's more options for Priesta than there are for Slasher, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
so I think Priesta would make more sense. I mean, I don't want to sound biased, but you guys know who I'm going to suggest from the Academy roster.
You can say it, Mark. I mean, I'm gonna throw
Cammy's in the mix, mate. Right in the mix. Get him in there. MVP from the Elite. Came in, obviously. They played very well. I think statistically he wasn't playing unbelievable initially, but I think in the playoffs he played really good once he got more up to scratch with that roster. And I think that if you...
Mark, they only dropped one series. I'm sorry to cut you off, but they only dropped one series, and it was the team that they 4-0'd in the finals. They smoked everybody.
Yeah, no, I know, but like, Cammy statistically initially when they first brought him in wasn't performing well, even though they were still winning. I'm saying he wasn't statistically playing well,
yeah.
But then
he started to turn up every match. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think for me, and you know, I've even gave Cam some hate for this as well. I think he is an AR player that needs to be alongside another AR player that allows him just to go rogue. And I think that Slasher is that type of guy who you're going to expect consistent decisions from him. And Cammy can really play at that high aggressive pace and allow them to play like some of these more sort of faster paced maps, likes of Karachi, Rio, etc., which we see them struggle against Optican. So for me, I think that that would probably be the choice that I would suggest. But yeah, I think that both are great players. I just think it comes down to between Priesta and Slasher. I think it just comes down to the options in that role specifically. Moving on, I think we should move on and talk a little bit about Miami, because they did get one on the board. We've been hating on them for the last couple of weeks. Maybe they are not the worst team in the league. What's your thoughts? I mean, Carolina won their game against LAG. Miami beat Carolina. Who is the worst team in the league, and is it Miami or is it just a bow?
It's just four, man.
It's just a bow.
It's LAG right now, but it's going to switch up every single stage.
Yeah, I feel you. I agree with that. I think that Miami looked good today, though. They looked good, or yesterday.
They looked fine, but like I can't find any sort of talking points when it comes to some of these teams. Like, if you're gonna be good versus a shit team and then just get world starred by everybody else, like, what am I even supposed to say? Like, you know what I mean?
They're like, a streaky team, though.
Streaky? They haven't won a series. Word to Pat. They haven't won a series in 50 days.
Yeah, they just won one. Yeah.
They were on a bad streak.
Insane. They were 0-4.
Look, they were on a bad streak.
Mark, we get it. That's a bad one, Mark.
I went all in early doors, and I'm trying to run it back up.
He's holding a couple of them still.
Mark, as a coach, your team doesn't win for 50 days. What are you doing and feeling like?
Oh, I feel like we did that last year in LAG. I could be wrong. It didn't feel great. That's for sure. That's the thing. When you're that bad, it's so hard to get better because you have so many things to get better in. And you're like, what do we fix first? Obviously a 50-day losing spree is quite tough. I mean, I think that they're a team that definitely has more of a higher ceiling than some of the lower teams. I think that if they play at the level we've seen them throughout stage one at different points, they had a bunch of great moments. So for me, I think that they're definitely at the bottom.
You want to know what it is? The team that's what separates these guys from the other bottom four teams is that at least these guys chow. They have like confidence. Like, sure, they might, you know, make a lot of mistakes and they might not play the typical, you know, version of Call of Duty that some people might think they should play. But at least these guys have confidence when they play. You see them, they get aggressive, they chow, they go together, they do the things they need to do. They just get ultimately gunned or outplayed. But when you watch like teams like LAG, where those guys are shaking their boots playing corners, like, that, if anything, I guess you're right with it when it comes to the ceiling thing, right? They probably just have more confidence, but I still think they're not very good.
Well, we always think that a team that's faster is better if they could slow down as opposed to a team that's slower that needs to speed up, right? So I definitely 100%. Agree with you on that, Chris, because I think with Miami, maybe they just, I'm just assuming here, but maybe they just went into the league and they just thought, vamos, let's go. Like, we're boys. Like, this is the first time Spain. Like, maybe they were just a little bit blinded by the initial hype and then they had to go through an even harder vamos, low. Geez. I'm just trying to like think about their balance. Like, maybe they just went really excited to really depressed, and now they're trying to balance it back out going into this land. Maybe they'll make an upset because, you know, confidence is a crazy thing in Call of Duty. And once you get one, you just got to start stacking it.
Yeah.
That's facts. Another team that had like a bit of a tough match this week, or tough matchup, sorry, so to say, was Thieves. They played against both FaZe and Vegas, and like coming in to this week, you know, Vegas were getting a lot of props, and we even said that they could have went in and finished off the stage in like a very good spot. I bet they get the victory today, Thieves over Vegas. Obviously, on the other hand, they did get smoked by FaZe, but everyone's getting smoked by FaZe. I think Thieves have still made a very positive team change after now seeing them for, you know, is it 3 weeks now or 4 weeks? I can't remember. But anyway, we've seen a couple of weeks now of Thieves picking up these W's and getting them on the board. And I do think that the team change that they made was a positive one. And I could see them squeezing into that top six at the event, potentially.
I'm still not sold on the Thieves. Listen, they had a couple game five wins against some shit teams. They had a pretty convincing win here against the Vegas. They managed to shut down Nero, which has been uncharacteristic of him in this stage. But also, like, they're still playing Vegas, right? It's not like they're playing a team like FaZe, Optic, whatever, New York, and like showing signs of life. I'm not sold on this team in terms of like their longevity. I still think they're at least one roster change away from potentially breaking into that top six conversation and being able to make upsets, kind of how like Boston is. And that is getting rid of Afro. Afro does not contribute to this team. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but he's a submachine gun player that's consistently putting up the lowest damage on the roster. He rarely has like any real impact moments in respawn. And I feel like they can easily find a replacement for him that is going to do what he does on the map and potentially even improve them in that asset. I will say that he does have some moments in search, and they have been winning a decent amount of their S&Ds, and they did win out some game five. So I can't shit on him completely, but like, just looking at the stats, bro, like he's doing what Purge is doing. Except probably like what the new Purge is doing, because I don't think Purge has been that bad, but he also hasn't been amazing. He's doing what the new Purge is doing without the in-game leadership, because I know that boy to go silent and he tries to go rogue. This team can improve. I think Nasty at least contributes in the damage, and he plays a fairly aggressive role on this team compared to Dan. So I feel like he's still contributing and he's still a positive factor for this team, along with Krimp, who had a very standout performance, and Ghosty, who I feel like has been consistent. So I think Afro needs to show me something. Otherwise, this team is going to inevitably be in the same spot.
What would he have to show you, though? Like, for me, I'm at the point where it's like, unless he comes out and fries multiple series on landing his top team, like, I don't know what else I need to see. I've seen him for a whole, 6 months now?
But he doesn't even do that against the lower tier teams.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, that's my point.
He needs to play better.
I genuinely feel like it's past the point of no return for me. Like, to me, if the Thieves make a roster change, which I think they should, he's number one to go. That's kind of where I'm sitting right now. And I don't think, back to what I was saying before, like, I don't genuinely don't know what, like, if I was a GM, what I would have to see out of him to be like, all right, I want to keep him on this team. Like, I feel like he's kind of lost that opportunity. He's been a letdown, for me at least, on the Steve squad. And I think it's time to go. Same with Purge. I know Purge got better, but it's not like he got better to the point where it's like, oh, damn, I want to keep Purge. Because with this Vegas squad, I'm still in my head, if they pick up a better player for Purge, this squad will get better.
Yeah. I think
the same about Afro.
Afro is such a weird player because, like, coming into this team and even throughout the last couple of seasons, you expect him to be that, like, explosive, like, slaying type player, and he's just not doing that. I do think it's important, though, that you do keep that S&D prowess if you are to make a replacement. Like, that has been, they're not going to be able to compete against the top teams regardless of whatever roster move they make. If they were to bring in someone for Afro, they're still going to struggle to compete with these top teams in Hardpoint, in my opinion.
Maybe, but like, Krimp has explosive potential, so does Ghosty, and I think Nasty does too. Afro doesn't have anything. Like,
that's the strange thing, Chris, because like, when Afro came in Cold War, I remember watching him on a Garrison control in Cold War. I think he was playing like Atlanta FaZe, and he looked crazy good. And ever since then, I'm thinking
Cold
like from then.
Insane.
But here's my thing: like, when I look at players, I look at, like, you're saying, oh, Purge needs to go off Vegas, Pat. He needs to go. He improved, but it's not enough. Like, the kid just got in the league, and it's only been a couple of months. But like, with Afro, he's been in the league for years. And when I look at a lot of these players,
I'm just looking at players in the league.
I'm not trying to put Marcus down here. I don't know Marcus. I'm sure he's a great guy, but I just want to see players. Well, I know team dynamic has a lot to play into it too, but I just want to see players have moments, and I don't remember a moment from Afro throughout the last few years that comes off the top of my head. I'm sure he's had some good ones, maybe online, maybe on land, but I haven't seen much. And I feel
far,
like,
and few between, bro.
And Chris, on this team, I feel like he's set up perfectly for the way he plays Call of Duty. Like, the Afro that I knew back in Cold War was that aggressive challer. Like, I played with Krimp. I know when Krimp has an aggressive challer on his team, how the team performs. And that aggressive challer is frying. And then Nasty's more, to me, when I look at Brian, people look at him like he's a great just winning player. Everyone looks at Nasty like he just makes really good plays. So if he's putting up damage on the map for you, and I know Dan and Kyle like the back of my hand, I lived with both of those guys. I know how they play COD. I feel like Marcus's job on this team is tailor-made for him to thrive and be successful.
And he's not doing it. So it's
But they are winning, though, Chris. There is the silver lining that they are winning some matches. They didn't look that good versus FaZe,
yeah,
like we all know.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I know we're like critiquing and we're micromanaging these guys and saying we need roster changes here or there, but I feel like for the Thieves, like we said before, stacking wins. They've been stacking wins, and
I just
day, that's all you
my
can
my
do.
Point is, it's the same thing with how Vegas, how Pat views Vegas. I know where this is going. Like, it's gonna eventually happen. The red flags are there, right? Granted, they're getting wins. They're squeaking by wins. They're getting game 5 wins against shit teams. Like, it's gonna happen eventually. I'm just calling it early.
So are you an advocate of giving a roster like a core, you know, you have a team of 4 and then, okay, you give a guy a few weeks. If he's not working out, swap him out for another guy. Give him a few weeks if he's not working out, swap him out for another guy. Like, how's your mentality on that?
I know COD's a long game, but like, it's just like, I usually do stages. So like, if you give a guy an entire stage, like, that's a long time. Like, granted, they only play 7 matches. 7 matches is still a decent amount, but they also play an entire major. And these guys scrim every day. Like, If you're not getting better, if you're not bringing in any sort of improvements that you show in scrims into your 7 matches or even into a major, like, you know, when something needs to change.
My thing, Doug, to answer your question, I get what you're saying. Like, everyone needs time to kind of prove their ability. But with the way the COD landscape is now, you know, we're talking about it's March, right? Like right now it's March. And Champs is in, what, early July?
Four months.
Yeah, like there's only 4 months. And there's going to be a period where like rosters lock, right? Where like you don't want to be making the last minute roster change. And so for me, like once you have a kind of an understanding, like all that you're really hoping for otherwise is to be surprised, right? Like if you kind of know the foundation of what you think someone's capable of, if you hold on to them, just like hoping to be surprised, I feel like you're just gambling at that point. Like I feel like the risk reward would be better off going with someone else or taking another risk, at least in this early period, because we're going to get to a point where it's going to be one too late to make a change that's going to matter, because you're going to be like out of champs contention by then, or two, the talent in challengers that's even worth picking up is gone because other teams are going to make moves. So it's like, I think there's upside to being early in roster moves, because you can make an infinite amount of changes. Like every team, they're not stopped by making roster changes. Even if you make a bad one, like you could make another one a week later, realistically. You're only capped by the roster lock that's in probably what, May or something. So yeah, I just feel like teams kind of shoot themselves in the foot when they keep a bad roster and continue to lose and dig themselves deeper and deeper and deeper into a hole.
So who do you see as the best replacement right now? I see Pentagram, and I'm biased towards Pentagram, does he get his chance?
Pentagram's a good shout. I think Yeez. I think some of the FaZe Black guys.
Any from Europe?
Who were you high on, Chris? Lunars?
Lunars, Dylan Rex, Sam Welly. Those are a couple of AR players that are good. When it comes to the subcategory, I think the sub pool is a little bit weird. I don't really know who I would even look at yet. Sorry.
What about you, Mark? Anybody in Europe?
Anybody in Europe? I don't want to be biased out here. You know,
no,
what I mean,
bias is fine.
No, be biased. Yeah. I mean, give your opinion. That's what this is about. You know them better than us.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, for sure. I think that if you look at the SMG category, it's tough in Europe specifically. I mean, we went through these struggles over the last couple of days, actually, our team, because Hixie left our squad to join another team. And yeah, we ended up getting Denza, who was a coach like 2 months ago. So, I mean, the SMG pool in Europe is pretty dry.
It's the same thing in NA.
Yeah. Europe.
It's like Pentagram, Yeez.
Well, that's what I don't understand, too. Craig. I feel like tell me if I'm crazy. If you're a challenger player,
Joe deceives.
If you believe that you can run a sub and you want to make it to the league, aren't you just like way better off running a sub in challengers? Like, even if it's not your natural role, like trying to run a sub? Just because.
Yes.
I feel like only subs or flex players get picked up in challengers. No main ARs get picked up ever.
Yeah, like, and you'll never know, Pat. Like, I switched roles last year. I never thought I'd be a good AR. Dude, last year I was one of the best ARs in the game at the end of the year. The results proved it. I never thought I'd be good on an AR, and I just did it because I thought it would help the team.
That's why
out.
I think switching
roles. So maybe some of these players would be really good. Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Dude, there are ARs and challengers that I think could just switch roles, and then they become way better pickups because teams need subs. Like, that's the dry spot. Like, there's not enough.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the next team I want to talk about here, actually, to be honest, I think it's important we talk about roster changes when it comes to the Seattle Surge, because obviously they've just brought Brez in. And overall, they come in this weekend and lose 3-1 against Minnesota. And I think that, honestly, they were playing for stats or something. I don't know what was going on.
This team is chalked beyond repair, bro.
Yeah, they have three players going positive. They lose both. No, they won one hard point. They lost the other one. Losing two out of the three respawns convincingly, though, and still having three players going positive. So someone's doing something wrong on the map, in my opinion, if that's what's going on. You know, Surge, for me, just made the wrong roster changes. I mean, we talk about this every week. We've literally banged on about this since Ellie was removed out of the roster. Yeah, it's an absolute disaster.
Now they're getting kills. We used to talk about them not getting any. Now they're getting too many. They're not getting in. They're not playing the objective. They're not utilizing their kills properly. At the very least, I guess that's kind of a positive. Now they're at least shooting, but they're not transitioning it to wins.
Yeah. I really don't get that map's four sub base.
That's why they're shooting, Chris.
that map four sub base against Minnesota was generally some of the poorest Call of Duty that I've watched so far this season. The poorest.
What's that mean? The worst.
Some of the worst Call of Duty. I'm just making up words. But yeah, some of the worst Call of Duty I've seen this year was on that subbase hardpoint.
Barring like Vegas and like LA, I feel like, well, Boston's, I guess, had their moments, but like when it comes to talking about like Minnesota, Seattle, LAG, like I just, there's nothing to talk about. It's like blow it up. All these teams are so poor. Their win conditions are so tiny. Even when we say, let's say they can't slay with the top dogs, some teams turn up, they start getting kills and they're still getting the same result. Like they still lose maps by like a million. Like these teams are just so bad. And the roster construction in the CDL has just been so poor for so many years, especially when it comes down to the bottom end. It's because these teams just, they're either scared to take risk or they just don't do any research in challengers. I will be a firm believer and say that most of these teams, their research when it comes to challengers consists of them pulling up the stats of the elites and the majors, and that is it. I guarantee they don't watch. Because
what do you think, Mark? You were a coach in the league. Do you think that's how it goes?
There's maybe a handful.
You are. I mean, you've been a coach for a long time.
And I will say,
like, LAG, for these guys?
LAG was probably one of them that did research, mainly because they had like people like Mark and like Vyaz.
I mean, it just depends because there are certain players that don't like too much information and all this sort of thing when it comes down to like doing their research. It really depends on the team. I don't think there's a specific approach that works for every single player or team. I think it just depends on the players you have, to be honest with you. For example, in Toronto, like we went through periods of time where we were like doing a lot of research into different teams and doing all that sort of practice and preparation. And then we were just losing. And then there was times where we were just like focused more on ourselves and that's where we were winning. It's like, it just depends, I guess, on the situation and the team you're playing against, to be honest.
There should be people in each organization dedicated to do stuff like that though.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. 100% on that regard. I think that it's important that there's constantly people that are collecting that information because there's going to be times where that information is important and there's going to be times the information is just best kept to yourself in a lot of senses. That's kind of the way I look at it, really. I think there's no really one way or one size fit all approach to it, to be honest. Before we move on to the community questions, I just want to say, guys, once again, thank you so much for all the questions you guys have been putting in there. Again, some great ones. Make sure you guys sub and comment below next week as well. And we'll try and answer the best ones once again. Moving into the first question, we have one from, this is actually for me, so you know, I'm a big dealer in here. Simon's Ollie says, question for Mark, do you think the CDL should be split into regions with a world championship style event at the end of the year with the best teams from each region? Seeing how hard it is for anyone that's not in NA to get into a team is a joke. Even your team offered to pay their own visas to compete and still got turned down. I mean, I certainly think if we're, you know, going out of this CDL world and potentially in the future, if we're to go back, I would like to see it going back to that way. I miss where it was like more of a big deal when you had these sort of European NA matchups that didn't take place throughout the, you know, months leading into event. And then you'd see how these sort of teams would match up against each other. On the flip side, though, you know, Europe as a region is always just naturally going to kind of suffer from that. The quality, the amount of good players, the quality of competition and all these sort of things is going to make these top teams, it's going to be harder for them to perform at the end of the day. And I mean, I've experienced that myself working in challengers now, scrimming back in Europe. Obviously, it's different if all the players were back in each of their regions. But for me, I think that, you know, it would definitely be the way I would go it. The route I would go down if we were to go back to the non-CDL landscape just allows more players to compete at the highest level if you're having more options there. Because like you said, there's players who simply aren't competing this year because, you know, some of the lower teams specifically don't want to spend money or extra budget on, you know, things like visas and all these sort of things. So it definitely stops players from competing, which I think is obviously a massive negative, because for me there's definitely a few European players that have been left out this year that are, if they were able to quickly be flipped into a roster without having to go through the whole visa process, I'm sure you would have seen players on rosters already this season. Luckily for Nasty, he still had his visa and all these sort of things. But like a lot of these guys, you know, if you have to go through the visa process, it could be months before you get one. We've seen what's going on with Real right now and throughout the season, waiting for that whole visa. So, yeah, it's obviously not ideal that everything's, for the most part, NA-based. But, yeah, I think there's kind of no solution to it unless we go back to the old CWL world. Yeah. Next question we have is, I guess this must be direct. I'm assuming this must be directed at both Aix and
this will be directed
Chris.
To Doug.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
One with this guy. This guy.
Yeah,
he's one of the best.
Played with Damon. Yeah, that's a good point. I played an event with Damon as well. I forgot about that. I played an event with Damon as well, a Spanish event. He randomly stayed in Europe for like 2 weeks and picked up from our TCM team. So, yeah, we've all played with Damon, actually. Is Karma the best player you've ever played with? If not, where does he rank?
Ceiling-wise, I'd probably say yes. I didn't really get to team with players like Skump or Formal or even Krim, which you could argue are probably at around the same ceiling. So I would say yes. Yeah, Damon was an amazing player. Great teammate at certain points, terrible teammate in others. But that guy was gross for a long, long time.
I would probably say no. But again, I only played with Damon one time, and it was when we had a lineup of four just absolutely insane talented players. So it's tough to make his comparison. I think Damon's a beast. I think the one thing about Damon is he's probably one of the most unique players I've ever played with. And I think that's the best title for him.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's the best player I've ever played with. I would say MW3, like the old MW3 Skump. Pat, remember it was me, you, Skump, and Teep? Yeah. That was probably the best player I've ever played with, the Skump in MW3. Karma is probably the best clutch player that I have played with. I think that's fair. I could give him that because every time there was a big moment, I only played two events with him, and it was with you, Chris, but every time we had a big moment, he was always showing up. Game 5, yeah. Round 11 in the finals, he's sniping people, he's getting first bloods. Like, you feel that as a player, and you expect it from people like him too. So it's kind of interesting. Like, when you expect it from guys, and then they still somewhat give you that extra little surprise, you're like, it's consistent. And for someone to consistently be that way.
Yeah, he's extremely reliable. I think that's one of the best things, attributes to give him.
But he's high up there. He's very high up there.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously didn't play with him at a serious event, but he was just doing whatever he wanted on BO2 with a sniper. So, it was obviously cool to play with him for one event. Another question from I'm Cody says, would a game like Oddball from Halo be a good third mode in Call of Duty?
No.
Personally, I think no.
The spawns would be fucking atrocious. And on top of that, the maps are just like too cluttered. There's way too many areas to hide, and it's way too easy to like lock down a moving objective. Like, for example, just imagine you take the ball up onto Invasion Palace. Like, you already had enough trouble breaking in Hardpoint. Try breaking it in Oddball. It's the same thing.
Yeah,
you
but,
just have certain areas
you
of the
would
map
have different
that
rules. Like trophies wouldn't it be allowed? The Oddball carry would probably have to have more health, slow speed, like. I think it could work, but it would require modifications for the game mode itself in the current landscape. And obviously, it would rely on good spawns. I don't think spawns are impossible for a dynamic objective. I really don't. I just think we've gotten such bad spawns in the last, 6 years that it kind of leans you to feel that way. But I actually think that type of game mode, whether it be Oddball or whatever theme, could work. It would take work to make work right, basically.
Yeah, I think that's the nail on the head there, really.
But I don't think it would be the best third mode, though.
Yeah. I think there'd definitely be a better third mode, and not only that, like you guys said, Oddball in its Halo-like state, as it, if you just put it in exactly like that, wouldn't work. I think it would just need to have some tweaks, like Pat said.
I think we need to bring back Capture the Flag, but that's just my opinion.
What about
Sabotage? I still miss Sabotage from fucking COD 4.
That's a good shout, Pat.
I wouldn't really mind trying it. I don't know how it would play in the new days, though, but I wouldn't mind trying it.
Sabo was, yeah. I mean, Chris, like, I still think Sabo was one of the funnest game modes to compete
on. It was fun, but like overtime rules were just so ass.
Well, yeah, but like ignoring that, just like the actual, even if we replayed, like the the back and forth aspect of Sabo, the ability to shut a team out instantly, like there was, Sabo was just fun, and every player had to make clutch plays at one given point. Like it was just, it was a ton of dynamic gameplay to Sabotage. Yeah.
The biggest issue with Sabotage was always the overtime stuff, but if you just had like a solution to that, which could be something as simple as whoever has the most kills at the end of the timer, it goes down to like an S&D round, whoever has the most kills gets defense or something along those lines. Or like
you're forced an attack defense. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, exactly.
The
like somewhere that
was always neutral, and you would have to force an OT where one team has to do something. And you can decide that by total kills, total objective, whatever metric, you know.
I never like attended any events back in these days, but I know in like COD 4 there was like series that went on
like
for hours.
Because overtime went forever and everyone just never
camped.
Lost. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. We'll ask one more question. Who does Aix think is the best of all time and why is it him?
My best of all time is clearly Krim. I mean, anyone who doesn't pick Krim, I think, is delusional. You know, the guy won 38, although some of those are definitely Fugazi. He won the most, and he won the longest. So I don't think anyone out there is not going to say Krim that is actually judging off what should be judged. Why is it me? I will say, for myself, I do feel that if I actually wanted to win, there's no player or team I thought could beat me if I was truly in the mindset of I'm going to win this tournament or whatever it was. So that, I hope, answers your question.
I still think Scump has a good case, not simply because of
what case does
accomplishments.
He have?
It's more so it's not. So like it's like a player perspective thing. It's like,
but what case does he have?
I agree with Pat. No. He doesn't have a case, in my opinion.
It's not a, so no for
if
like,
we're
it's
talking
like
growth
it's like a
of
personal
the scene
thing
and all that. Yeah, of course. We're, that's not what GOAT means.
No, I'm not saying the GOAT. I'm saying like the best. So you said the best player. So like I'm not talking about the GOAT. I'm talking about,
I mean, that's what that
player
means.
I get it. I understand what you're saying, and I'm not taking anything away from Krim. It's more so like from a player perspective. There was times where like you would play Scump and it was just like he was just fucking insane. Krim had those moments too, but I think Scump had more of that
say,
like
Chris?
Individual talent. And then on top of that, he
bias to the matchup that you had. Like if you had a matchup where Scump always fried you and your teams.
Yeah, it could be.
That
but that's what
but
I'm saying.
If
it's more like a
Scump and I felt like I always beat Scump, I wouldn't have
that.
Yeah.
No, you're right. But it's also like I'm talking about from a player perspective, because the longevity for his actual talent was kind of crazy. Like,
I mean, there's no doubt he had a Hall of Fame career. Like,
you also got to think of it like this, though. Like, I'm sorry to cut you off, but like my biggest gripe, like I love Seth to death. I just don't like the narrative of him being the GOAT. That's all, because Seth was the most privileged player in the Call of Duty history space to always pick whoever he wanted to play with. Like Pat, had that opportunity, if you always picked who you wanted to play with, how many achievements are you going to get, man?
For 13 years, you guys got to pick your roster. I'm sure all of your careers would look insanely
I'm not
better.
Calling him a GOAT. I'm more so talking about like, because you said best player, so I'm taking it like verbatim. Like in terms of like talent, like his longevity and how long he was good for, and how many titles he was good for. Even when he retired, the series before, he played fucking insane. Granted, it was versus Boston and Zinni, you know, wasn't the best. No,
yeah,
but I'm kidding.
Zinni might have thrown that series.
But
you got
the point. That's what I'm saying. Like in terms of talent, bro, like I think like granted Krim had a more accoladed career and he's definitely the GOAT. I think from a talent perspective, Scump is definitely like could be a case for the best individual talent.
For talent, you can give
the best.
That,
the best.
Yeah. What are you determining best by? Just like your shot and ability to perform. Because like I wouldn't say that's the best winner. I wouldn't.
No.
Say
yeah. That, I'm not saying exactly. I'm not like, saying that. I'm saying like just how good he was at his role is probably something that we won't see in terms of longevity for a long time.
I think what you should
maybe
give him is the best SMG player. I think that's the what
okay. That's
him.
Fair. I'll give him that. I'm not, like I said, I'm not here to make a conversation about him being the GOAT. I'm talking about from a talent perspective. I think you could always make Scump, even like formal for the shorter time that he played. You can make arguments for how good they were at the game, not necessarily accomplishments or winning. I'm saying like talent wise, like bro, those guys would just have maps where they would just fucking shit all over people in ways that nobody's ever shit on other people.
The problem I have with all the arguments is if we don't divide it like with how the landscape has gone in the CDL era, like Simp, Abizi, Celium, those guys are going to have the best in all three of their roles. Like,
yeah, they will.
Because they're just shitting against everybody in this era, and they're playing the same CODs. Like, I think we talked about this last episode a little bit. Like, not having to switch the type of games. Like, that, I think, gives credit to Scump, right? The ability to do it in boots, jetpack, back to boots, to the
literally every title.
But like someone like Simp and Abizi, like, they've only played one style of COD, and they've been dominant at it. And I don't think we'll ever see the genre switch between the COD titles anymore. Now that Warzone's a thing, we're always going to see the type of games that we have out now.
Yeah, that's true.
I think Scump, like, and I always thought Scump was just as good as an AR, to be honest. Like, he, to me, has always been the most talented individual player in COD history. But the GOAT is Krim. I think the best winner is you, Pat, because I would agree with that. When you care, no one can beat you. And I saw that with my own two eyes. I saw it. I felt it. So I know what it felt like. And I play with a lot of these dudes too.
Wait,
what?
Yo, you got to stop with that, Chris. I'm just saying it for how I've seen it in my lifetime. All I'm trying to say, I think Scump is the most talented player in the history of COD. I think Pat is the best when he cared to win, he was the best. But the overall GOAT, undisputed, is Krim. No doubt.
Oh, I thought you were going to say me.
Sorry, the best is Marky B. The GOAT is Marky B because he went in on the main stage, Fortress Control, and wanted to even play. So no, the GOAT is Marky B. GOAT is Marky B.
Listen, anyone could, like, any player could spot in on Fortress Control and hold that gate, mate. Literally anyone. I'm taking no credit.
Humble. I don't know.
I'm taking no credit for that, I swear.
Who did you fill in for again?
Alec.
He couldn't have done it. That's what I
mean. Nah, trust me, anyone could hold that. I think you guys have hit the nail on the head about the GOAT conversation. I think that's my biggest gripe with the whole community, is that people only see it from like a talent perspective in a way, and that's the whole like Scump argument, is like, oh, most talented, but it's like a complete picture of a player.
And I also think the biggest problem with the community is if you say someone's not something, they think that means you're saying they're like ass, right?
Yeah.
Like the same thing with the superstar debate. Like, because you're saying they're not a superstar, it's like an insult. It's like, no, there's nothing wrong with being a star. Like, being a star player is a fucking insane accomplishment.
Yes.
The community is just so blinded by reality. But anyway.
Yeah, let's not get into that. I've seen that debate.
Not the reverse sweep comment section, though. They are the best community. That's why they give us the best questions every weekend.
That's facts.
That's it
from us, guys. And that was Reverse Sweep, presented by Prize Picks. Make sure you download the app today and use code Reverse Sweep for a first deposit match of up to $100. Like the video, keep those amazing comments coming, and subscribe to the channel. We'll see you all later.
Goodbye.
Peace.
Welcome back, dog.
Yay. Woo.